snoop through it a little bit. Let's see. Another generation. I don't know if you're ready for that generation. I mean, you see David Suit over there. No. Oh, man. You know, I might sing a song. Never mind. He's back.
Father Abraham, maybe. You get, the harder it is. Matthew 25. Preaching on seven judgments past couple of weeks. And as I was thinking about this thing, God, we talked about the first judgment was Calvary. The second judgment was self-judgment. The third judgment was the judgment seat of Christ, and we also had number three, or judgment seat of Christ. Where was number four? Judgment of the Jews, and we talked about the judgment of the Jews last week, and now we're going to talk about the judgment of nations. I thought we might not cover that. We might cover that next week. I got myself together. Don't worry. I got it together. All right. Matthew 25. And look at this. Now, God's always been involved in nations. And I think about this the other night. Last night, I was thinking about it, praying about it. God's always been involved in nations. And God also gives you an outline of what's going to happen with the nations in the end. He gives you all the way through the Bible. But, you know, I thought about this. God's judgment was on Calvary, on Jesus Christ. But then we have self-judgment. God in the Old Testament dealt with the nation of Israel as a whole. Now he deals with individuals, but he still deals with nations. He still deals with nations. And one day he's going to deal with different nations. And this is the nation. And one day at the end of the tribulation period, he's going to sit down and judge the nations. And he's going to judge each nation. And I said that last week, I said there's 193 nations that are in the United Nations, but there are nations that are not in the United Nations. They're nations. But the Lord's going to sit down and judge nations. And ever since man came upon this earth, there's always been fighting, wars, and I think I told you years ago that there's only been 200 years of peace upon this planet. Only 200 years, if that. Out of 6,000 years of mankind, there's only been 200 years of peace. And God, these nations fighting each other, killing each other. Cain kills Abel. And God deals with individuals. But when he deals with individuals, and then that individuals that he deals with, it passes down to their generation of their children. So how do you know that? Because the Lord tells you in the book of Exodus, I'll read this to you, stay in Matthew, but he tells you that he's going to deal with people and their generation of their children. Now, I believe there can be a curse on a family tree. There can be a curse. And I believe the Ryman family had a curse on them, and God broke the curse when we got saved. Now, the Rymans, somebody made a decision down the road that they didn't want to believe in God, didn't want to follow the Lord. And that happened even after Noah got off the ark and after the flood. Noah and the people made decisions, and nations and individuals made decisions. And one individual can change a family. And that one family can change a church. And that church can change a city or a town. And that town or city can change a state. Or here we have in America, United States, and now we've got all these drug addicts, all the drinking, all the party, everybody's lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God. And we've got people now, like I said this morning, maybe 8% of our lives are dedicated to God. But look in Exodus chapter 20. Look what the Lord says about people cursing him. And I believe this, folks. I believe this all in my heart. I'm preaching to you this morning. I believe it all in my heart. You can bring judgment upon your seed, upon your children, and your children's children. And I thought about this. I thought about, man, did my great-great-great-grandfather turn his back on God and curse God and did something that brought a judgment and upon our family and our seed all the way down through the years? And then God, if you read your Bible, you read Chronicles, you read Samuel, God interjects into the, you know, they said they served Baal for 40 years, and then one person, the king, becomes a king, and he changes the nation because he sought after the Lord. And one person can change my home, my family. When I got saved, it brought salvation to my family. My father got saved, my mother got saved, my whole family got saved. That's not saying we're perfect, nothing like that. But then God passed it down. I passed it down to my children's children. So one individual, you're sitting here, you said, well, what I do only harms me and ain't nobody else got no concern about. No, you don't know what you're talking about. Everything you do affects somebody, especially affects your children and the way you handle things. And people think, well, I'm only hurting myself. No, you ain't, man. I've been beside many graves, been in many caskets of people that died from drug overdose and drinking and a cirrhosis of the liver and all that stuff. And their kids are sitting there and their grandkids. And a lot of times they said, well, if their father was a drunk, grandfather was a drunk, and the great-grandfather was a drunk, everybody's going to be, might as well face it, we're all going to be drunks. And it's like a curse that's passed down. It doesn't have to be that way. Now, Jesus Christ, one person, came and changed, but he came to the people, but they rejected him. And it brought a curse upon the nation of Israel. They rejected his word. They rejected, he said, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often I would have gathered you like a hen gathered her chicks, but you would not. You're sitting here today, you're saved, and you said, well, I'm saved, I'm going to heaven, that's all that matters. No, there's more to it than that, just that. There's more to it. You can change. There's a church in Indiana that changed the whole city. It's called First Baptist Church of Hammond. It was one man, pastor, came. People got saved, and they ended up buying the whole town and changed. See, people in that town either love that church or they hate it. And that's the way it is. It's going to be. People either love this church or they'll hate it. And that one man went to that town and changed the whole, and that nation or that one town affected the governor and the state. And the governor would come, and the governor got saved. So is the potential of what God can do through you can also change a nation. You think about our forefathers came here and changed this nation, made this the greatest nation in the world. Because why? They had a Bible in their hand. People try to tell you, well, it wasn't Christianity that really changed the nation. They're crazy. They don't know history. They're trying to, well, you know what they do? And they're rewriting the history of this country to what they think should be, not what it was. That's what they're doing. They're rewriting history. And the people are gullible to receive it. And look in Exodus chapter 20. It says, and God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. And thou shalt have no other gods before me. No gods. We were talking about that this morning. No gods before him. We put education. I said, we were talking about Paul went to Athens, Greece. And Paul got up and said, I perceive that you're so superstitious. And he said, you know, and he was in the middle of Greece, and that's the center of education. And I've said this in Sunday school. What people will say, they'll say, you know, we just need to be more educated about this situation. Every politician gets up and says, well, we need to be more educated. No, we don't. We need to get back to God. Amen. Get back to God. That's what we need. And they said, well, it's more, and a guy, I told you this morning in Sunday school, that one guy told me, he said, wouldn't be no more wars if everybody was more educated. That's stupid, a statement I ever heard. That's stupid. Like I said, the farmers and the trash men and all them, they don't start the wars. It's the educated people that do it. It's the ones that cause the trouble. And the gods of America is, number one, is money, sex, or number two is education, and then sex. That's the gods of America. And the Lord says, don't make no other gods before me. You do, then you'll have your own way. The Greeks, they end up being superstitious, and they were worshiping an unknown God. And you can worship your own brain. You can worship some. And you know what America's turned to? America's turned to sports. They've got gods in sports. They've got gods in NASCAR. They've got gods in everything but the Lord Jesus. The churches are emptying out. We're dinosaurs, what we believe. We believe the old King James Bible, preaching the old time way, and singing, praising God, and doing what we do. You know, we don't have no program. We're dinosaurs.
Yep.
And they look at us like, you're just not politically correct. You just don't know what you're doing. Maybe we don't, but we're having fun at it. Amen. And it says, thou shalt not have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make on thee any graven images of any likeness of anything. Goes on down. He said, thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I am the Lord thy God, am jealous God. Verse 5, visiting iniquities. If you bow down to something else, visiting iniquities of the father upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. So what happened to China? What happened to Japan? Japan worshipped the emperor. He was his god, their god, in the 20th century. What, you know, you got the Shiites, you got the Sunnis, and they say they worship Allah, but they kill each other. You got all these nations that they have their own gods. We send missionaries to Africa. We send missionaries to Europe. We send missionaries around the world. What happened, man? Why? Why hasn't those nations accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior? I mean, it could change things. One person can change a home life. When I got saved, I didn't know what I was doing. I just knew I was saved. I wanted my family saved. And it changed the rhyming name and made it from a curse to a blessing to a point. Depends on who you ask. But your name can change, and then your seed, your men, you men in here, it changed your children coming up if you're not hypocrites and living right. And that thing can change a nation. America was called I've said this before. Obama got up and said, America's not a Christian nation anymore. That made me mad, but he was right. America's not a Christian nation anymore. It's all about them. Everybody, the millennial generation is all about them. That's why they went after Bernie Sanders and Hillary. They wanted everything given to them. They don't want to work for it. Everything's got to be free. And you know what? We did it to ourselves. And the Bible says, thou shalt not bow down to them, thyself to them, nor serve them, for I am the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquities of the father upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. Visiting the iniquities. And then he says in verse 6, showing mercy on the thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. So that's a commandment that God gave to Israel. And it, actually, the Ten Commandments is still good. It's still good. It shouldn't change. They take it out of schools. You take the Ten Commandments out of schools, you have to bring police officers with monitors and bring metal detectors. So you get rid of God, you got to do your own thing. So you can change. You're sitting here this morning. You can change your family. You can change all that by God's help. You can live for God and make a difference and change your family seed, your family, your children, and then a church. You know, one person get in church in here, and somebody get excited and fired up over the singing and start praising God, you find it spreads. It spreads, man. Yep. One person comes in here all discouraged and down and out, you can feel it. Yep. It spreads, too. Yep. You come in praising God, it'll do something for you.
Yep.
Now, I made up my mind a long time ago. I don't want my kids to go the way my family went. We're not going down that road. God helping us.
Yep.
And I said, I'm a stupid, ignorant fool, but I'm not that stupid. Well, you'll put things before God. You'll put fishing. You'll put boating. You'll put all that stuff. I mean, the pleasures of this world before God. Nothing wrong with those things. You put that stuff before God and becomes a God to you.
Yep. Yeah. Amen.
Lord judges nations. He's going to judge nations. And here, right here is when he does it. Why? He's judging Israel. Right here is when he's going to judge it. Right before the millennium, he's going to judge nations. It's Matthew 25. We'll get there in a minute. But tribulation takes place. You know what? If our country did what 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14 said, I tell you what, we'd see a difference. We think Donald Trump is our hope. Donald Trump's not our hope. We think some conservative is our hope, which I'm a conservative. I want a conservative. But that's not the hope. for America. The hope for America is getting back to God. He said, if my people which are called by my name, it's promised to Israel, but we can apply it spiritually. If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves, the problem is we won't humble ourselves. I like doing what I want to do, and ain't nobody going to tell me what to do. Ain't no preacher going to tell me. No Jesus Christ going to tell me. No, nobody's going to tell me what I want to do. I'm going to do what I want to do. Go ahead, big boy. Make a mess out of your life. Make a mess out of your family's life. Mess up your kids. Mess up everything. Just go ahead. Amen. Ain't nobody going to tell me what to do. Go ahead. Make a mess. And then you'll blame God. You'll turn around and blame God when it's your own foolishness.
Yep.
My father put business before God, money before God. Like I said, money is the number one God in America. Education, number two. I'd rather have kids that are dumb thumps, which I, that love God. He's not a dumb thump. I'm kidding. You know, you know what's crazy? Today is my son's birthday, my oldest son. He's 40 years old. My wife and I have a son that's 40 years old. Good Lord. 40 years old.
You're ancient.
Yeah, we're ancient. I'd rather have a dumb thump that loves God than somebody so educated they throw God out of their life.
Amen.
Wouldn't you? Say amen. Now, Matthew 25, let's go here. This is judgment of nations. I think I missed that number four. I think I did. I don't think I preached on the judgment of Jews, did I? No, I didn't. All right, we'll get it next week. Matthew 24, or 25. And Matthew 25, if you read Matthew 24, 25, it's talking about the tribulation period. It's talking about when all hell breaks loose and all that stuff. And in chapter 25, the Lord's... He gives you the 10 virgins. Look at verse 1. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto the 10 virgins. Now the church is likened to a virgin. These 10 virgins are in the tribulation period. This is the tribulation. Which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. Who's the bridegroom?
Jesus.
Now come on. Now who's the bridegroom?
Jesus
Christ. This is Jews in the tribulation period. And it says they went out to meet the bridegroom. And why? He's coming back in Revelation 19. It says, five of them were wise and five were foolish. And they that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. And the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. And a lot of people say the oil is a type of the Holy Spirit, you know, having the Holy Spirit in you. And in the tribulation, people can lose their salvation. And while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight, there was a cry made, mid-tribulation rapture here coming. There's a mid-tribulation in the middle of the tribulation right here. See this right here? In the middle, there's going to be a rapture, as in Revelation chapter 11, Revelation 11. And he says, and all those, verse 7, and all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are burnt, going out. And the wise answered and said, not so, lest there be not be enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they were ready, went in with him into the marriage, and the door was shut. These are friends of the bridegroom. And afterwards came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. And he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye neither know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. So the Lord's going to come back in the middle of the tribulation when nobody expects it. The rapture is going to take place when nobody expects it. When they say, the Bible says, when they say peace and safety, sudden destruction come upon them. Now, I'm not a prophet, like I said, I say this every week. I'm not a prophet of doom. I just think you ought to know your Bible to know what's going to happen and what's coming down the pike. And then he goes and he says, for the kingdom of heaven. Now, whenever the Bible says the kingdom of heaven, it's talking about on this planet, the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven, two different things. The kingdom of God is spiritual. The kingdom of heaven is physical. So when Jesus Christ was on this planet, the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven were together. When Adam and Eve was in the garden, the kingdom of God and the kingdom of together with the kingdom of heaven was together. When they sinned, the kingdom of God went out. Why? Because the Lord locked them out of the garden, and the garden dried up. and the kingdom of heaven. And the Bible tells you that and explains it in, about John the Baptist. He said, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent taketh it by force. That's why you got wars, nations against nations. And the Bible says in Matthew 25, it says, nation going to rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and so on, until the Lord come back. And when Jesus Christ comes back, there, and it's called Gog and Magog, which is Russia. The Bible tells you about Russia. And we got, the Bible tells you about Greece. It tells you about Egypt. It tells you about Ethiopia. It tells you about these different countries, these different nations. Now, like I said, an individual, God can change an individual. That individual can change the destiny of his family and the way they turn out. That individual. That individual can change the destiny of his family and change the destiny of a church. You think about how many churches this morning that are dead as 4 o'clock. Amen. And they're not preaching the Bible anymore. They're sitting in there. They don't even know if they're saved or not. Right. But they go to church. Yeah. And they think, you ask them, are you saved? Are you going to heaven? Well, I hope so. Yeah. I've been going to this church for 50 years. Wow. They don't know. Right. So they're sitting in there. They don't even know, and they don't want to hear it when you try to talk to them about it. Right. Salvation. You go out at Christmas time talking about Christmas caroling, and all. You're passing out tracts. The guy's going, we're going to do that up in Smyrna. And you pass out tracts, and you say, are you saved? Well, I hope so. I'm a good person. Man, I wouldn't trust that. But that one person can change a destiny of their family, their seed, and they can change the destiny of a church. And a church can change the town. Are we doing our job? Have we affected Smyrna? Have we affected Dover? Have we affected our families? And that one person, it starts with one person. And then it affects the state. And it can affect the nation. That one person. God's going to judge nations, but he still judges individuals. He's going to divide the nations. But right here, you say, well, we talked about this last week as the judgment seat of Christ is right here. You're going to answer to God from the time you got saved till the time the Lord takes us out of here and you die. You're going to answer to God for what you've done in your body. And then the Lord, can you imagine if you see your children at the white throne judgment, get cast into hell because you wouldn't do right? And you wouldn't live for God? That's good. I don't want my grandkids to be cast into hell. I often thought, I wonder if there's anybody in our family that is saved. We tell you, man, live for God, read your Bible, pray. But you know what we do? We like to watch the living dead. We put more emphasis on that stuff. We put more emphasis on having fun and pleasure. We put all the emphasis on that rather than growing in grace and teaching our kids to pray, teaching our kids to know the Bible. It's amazing how many, if I went around this room this morning and say, hey, can you pray? You'll sit there and some people will say, I'm not trying to put you down. I'm just saying, as we haven't put the time into it. You'll sit there and say, well, I don't know how to pray. Why not? You put time in everything else. You put time I put a lot of time in things, working on things, fixing things. But man, I want to know my Bible. I want to know what the Bible says. I want to be able to train my family and my children. I want them to see me praying. I want to pray with them. When's the last time you prayed with your family? Amen. All right, kids, we're getting ready to go to bed. Let's go to the room. Let's pray. Or get them in the living room. One person changes the outcome of the family. Yep. Yep. And that one family can change the outcome of a church. Yep. The Coleman family came. When they came, I think it was Ron was the first one. Was that right, Ron? Yep. Yep. We seen a bunch of Colemans get saved. Yep. We seen a bunch of Coles were already saved. His dad was saved. His mom was saved. And man, we seen a bunch of people through their family get saved. We've seen a bunch of different families here, Peyton family, big families. We've seen a lot of people saved. So, but are they all living for God now? No. They made choices. Yeah. They make choices, and it's going to affect the outcome of their family. My choice is going to affect the outcome of my family. As I get older, I want to see my kids joyful. I want to see them happy, but I don't want to see them in sin. I want to see them, the grandkids, as long as my children stay together, live marriage and happy, my grandkids will be happy. And that's where you praying for your family. Praying God touch them. You said, well, how is that going to affect the nation? It can. If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray, then I'll hear from heaven. You can change the outcome of things if you want to. But you know what it is? It's work.
Yeah.
It's effort.
Yeah.
It's time.
Amen.
It's hard sometimes. But what do? You quit? Do you quit when it gets hard? No. You ask God to help you. You ask God, Lord, let me accomplish this thing for your glory. But what we do, well, like I said, we find something else to occupy our time. Every night I go to sleep, I'm thinking about my family. I'm thinking about the children. I'm praying for them. God, keep them safe. Don't let their house burn down in the middle of the night. God, keep them safe. I'm praying that. I pray that for you all. But I'm saying, if we all bound together and started praying like that, brother, you said, can we see revival? But if you have no concern about it, you say, well, I don't care about that. We could see revival in families. We could see revival in the church. We could see revival in the town. I don't know if it'd go any further than that. It's possible. In this day and time, think about, they said the other day, last year, 2014, 50-some people, 50-some thousand folks died of drug overdose. 50-some thousand. You know what that is? People just, I just want to escape reality. And the devil will try to get you to think, I just want to get away from everything. I just need time. I need to escape. No more soldiers.
Well,
conscience objectors. Run to Canada.
Yep.
What about serving him?
Yeah,
amen. Yeah.
What about people dying and going to hell? Yep. What about your neighbor? Love thy neighbor as thyself. I hate my neighbor. Love thy neighbor as thyself. These are teachings that Jesus taught. Where are they at? And they work, but we don't apply. We're too busy looking at the night living dead or whatever, walking dead or whatever stupid thing. I can't believe that thing stayed on TV.
Yeah.
You know what that is? You know when there's, you know what that's going to happen? That's in the tribulation, man. The walking dead is going to happen in tribulation. People get so hung up on, I got to watch my show. My show's coming on. I got to see it. My team is playing today. I got to see them.
Yeah.
They got to win. If they don't win, I'm depressed. God have mercy, man. I don't want to get like that. This ain't had nothing to do. It has something to do with nations. But take your Bible, look at Matthew 25, and look at verse 32. I have to. Some of y'all falling asleep on me. Look like you're falling asleep. See, devil don't want you to hear things about conviction, about getting things right in your own life. He don't want you to hear that. He'll try to get you to move on, do something else. Look at this. Matthew 25, verse 32, and verse 31. And when the Lord, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. Well, I just showed you that right there. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. He shall set the sheep on the right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come ye, blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and ye gave me meat. See, this is right after the tribulation. These are Jews. The Jews that go through this hell on earth, and people go through this hell on earth, and the Lord allows them to go into millennium. Now, you and I are saved. We're in heaven. We're up here. We're there. This is all hell on earth, and then all of a sudden we come back with Jesus Christ, Revelation 19, and then he has a battle when all nations from the east, Revelation 16, all the nations of the east come against Jerusalem. All the kings of the east. And the Bible says they dry up the Euphrates River, and there's 200 million men. One battle. One battle, 200 million men. I've never, you know, they showed North Korea or China. I was watching a thing about Oliver North was giving this thing about the North Koreans and all the, they were fighting in the North Korea and the men that froze to death and everything else. I was watching that last night. I was going, oh, God, my Lord. I was watching about those men being shot and then freezing in the winter, and they were surrounded, and the Chinese sent 120,000 men there and surrounded them and had them caught in between and was killing them right and left. And, man, and they got out, and they got back to the what is that called, the 53rd? No, the zone there, the south between South and North Korea. What's that called? Anybody know? Huh?
DMZ.
Got back to the DMZ. And... But, man, they were showing that all that stuff going on, all these people dying, but that was 125,000 men. It was a multitude. But can you imagine 200 million from the east? That's China. That's Vietnam. That's Japan. That's India. India's got 2 million gods. We support some missionaries to India. And, man, that's all these countries from the east. They're going to march on Jerusalem to annihilate the Jews. And the Lord's going to come back in Revelation 19 to come fight for them. And after that, that's when he's going to judge the nations. Man, that's going to be wild. And we're going to be with him. And man, I tell you what, I don't want to be ashamed of, we probably somewhat be ashamed, but I don't want to be completely ashamed that I didn't try to serve God. Especially at the judgment seat of Christ. Now look at this. Look at verse 35. He said, I was hungry, and you gave me no meat. I was thirsty, you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. And he says, naked, and you clothed me. And verse 36, naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hungered and fed thee and thirsty and gave thee drink? And saw we the stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee. And when we saw thee sick or in prison and came unto thee. And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of my brethren, talking about the Jews, ye have done it unto me. And then shall he say unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, in everlasting fire, prepare for the devil and his angels. You need to underline that verse. God didn't make hell for man. He made it for the devil and his angels. Man goes to hell. He goes as an intruder. And the Bible says, I was hungry and you gave me no meat. I was thirsty, you gave me no drink. He said, I was a stranger and you took me not in. Naked and you clothed me not. Sick and in prison, you visited me not. Then shall he answer him saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hungered and thirst and a stranger naked or sick or in prison and did not minister unto thee? And then shall he answer them, saying, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. And he says, these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into everlasting life. Now, you say, is that a judgment for us? No, that's not our judgment. We're in heaven already. We're at the judgment seat of Christ here, and we go to marriage supper, and then the Lord judges them here, judges the nations. And he's going to judge the nations the way they treated the Jews. Right now, America is the only nation that stands with the nation of Israel. See, Israel, the nation of Israel, is God's bride, God the Father. The church is Jesus Christ's bride. And the Lord's going to come back, Revelation 19, and fight for his bride. And it's the treatment of the Jews, the way they've been treated. Like I said, one person, during when Adolf Hitler was in power and Adolf Hitler was persecuting the Jews, there was people that took the Jews in and hid them and fed them and all that. And Hitler took them and put them in concentration camps as well and killed them for helping them. The Antichrist will do the same thing to anybody that helps the Jews. He's going to do the same thing. So this is when the Lord comes back and finally at the end and fights for him. The devil's sign is a goat's head. He always has the sign of a goat's head. And he's you know, they talk about the old goat and all that stuff. But the devil is no joke. Now, take your Bible. Say, where is this going to take place? Where is this battle going to take place? Take your Bible, look in Joel chapter 3, and we'll stop. Joel chapter 3. I have time run out on me. Joel chapter 3. Old Testament, go Matthew, Mark, Matthew, and then go back Malachi, and then Zechariah, and then you'll go. All right? Go back. Joel chapter 3. Haggai. Zephaniah. Let's see. Man, where is it? I just had Joel. Good night, I done lost it. Joel, here it is. Joel chapter 3. And Joel chapter 3 said, where is this going to take place? This is called the Battle of Armageddon. Like I said, God deals with nations. He's always had his hand in nations. I'll tell you this, when God told Jonah, he said, Jonah, I want you to go to Nineveh and preach my word to him. Jonah said, no, I don't even like them. I'm prejudiced towards them. We get this prejudice, this thing about, you know, you get, I don't like blacks, I don't like whites, I don't like Asians, I don't like this. You get this prejudice. God died for every one of them. Amen. You better not have a prejudice towards them, because the Bible says God's no respecter of person when it comes to salvation. Amen. Yeah. Now, I said this before, I've said it 100 times. God is a racist. When I mean, not like you and I think it's a racist, but God made the distinction between the races. The Asians are different than the Europeans. There's a distinction. God made the distinction between the races, but God cares for the nations. But the nations that turn their back on him, they go into idolatry like China. But there's Chinese people right now. There's underground churches that are Chinese people getting saved. They make American Christians look sick when it comes to serving God. There's North Koreans and Koreans that are on fire for God. They make us look sick, and we have all the benefits. They don't. The blacks in Africa, they make us look sick when they get saved. Somebody dropped the ball. What happened was when Noah got off the ark, Ham, Shem, and Japheth, all three. The Europeans were Japheth. The blacks were Ham. And then the Asians were Shem. And the northern tribes went north. That was Japheth. The southern tribes with Ham went south, and the Asians went, Shem went east. Shem went into idolatry, but that's where we get all our Bible from Shem. The African nations went into idolatry. They worshiped bodies. They worshiped just like Europeans did. They did the same thing. They were killing each other. The Africans are killing each other. The Europeans are killing each other. The Asians were killing each other. God was trying to intervene in their nation, but they've dropped the ball. Somebody let the ball down. A father, a parent, dropped the ball and didn't tell their children about God. Amen. So they worship the creatures more than the creator. That's all the way through the Bible, folks. You said, that can't happen in America. It's already happened. We're worshiping education, professors, thinking they're the final authority. They're not. Look at this. Joel chapter 3. We'll close with this. Joel chapter 3. Look at the Bible. It says in Joel 3, if I can find my place. What do I do with my notes? I'll put them somewhere. Well, let's look at it. Joel chapter 3, look at verse 12 or 11, or back up to 10, It says, beat your plowshares into swords. Why? On the United Nations, they got a verse that says, beat your swords into plowshares. But here the Bible's telling them, beat your plowshares into swords. Why? There's coming a great battle. He says, and your pruning hooks into spears, let the weak say, I am strong. Assemble yourself and come, all ye heathen. Gather yourself together round about, The Lord's saying, all right, you all think you're so smart? You think you're something else? Gather, come on, gather up. You want to take me on? You want to battle with me? Come on. You know what? When you reject the Lord and you're not walking with God, you're battling with him. You're not saved, you're battling with him. The Lord said, you think you something? You want to take me on? Come on. Come on. Come on. Put your dukes up, boy. Take me on. God's loving. You push the Lord so far. And here, when it comes to this battle, they pushed him too far. Why? They went after his bride. A man will fight for his wife. Look here. Assemble yourself, verse 11. Come, all you heathen. Gather yourself together and round about. Hither cause thy mighty ones to come down, O Lord. Let the heathen be awakened. Come up to the valley of Jehoshaphat. For there will I sit to judge all the heathen round about. Put ye in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Come get you down, for the press is full, and the fats of the overflow, for their wickedness is great. Multitudes and multitudes in the valley of decision. For the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. He's saying these armies, if you read Revelation chapter 16, or in chapter 9, the armies of the east come against the Lord Jesus Christ in Jerusalem, and they're in the valley of Megiddo. It's called the valley. It's called the Megiddo Valley. And he says, come together. It's like a wine press. And the Lord's going to come back and fight 200 million men. Wipe them out one shot. Multitudes in valley of decision. For the day of the Lord is near the valley of decision. The sun and the moon shall be darkened, and the stars shall withdraw their shining. The Lord also shall roar out of Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem, and the heavens and the earth shall shake, for the Lord will be the hope of his people and the strength of the children of Israel. See that thing? I'm telling you, man. The nations gather together. God deals with nations. When a nation, it starts with one person. Reject God. One family rejects God. Then one church, they don't know God. They just have a church. Might as well be, some other organization. But they reject the word of God. You know, the Bible says, buy the truth, sell it not. It says, Jesus said, the truth shall set you what? Free. When you want truth and you love the truth, and that's the truth, and you want it, I'm going to tell you something. Blessings come with it. Blessing upon blessing. You reject it, say, I've heard that before. All that stuff, I'm going to do what I want to do. Ain't nobody going to tell me what to do. And then the curse will come out on your family. It'll come out on your children. It'll come out on your church. It'll come out on your town. It'll come out on your state. It'll come out. America, the Christian nations, turn their back on God. But one individual, one family, you can have blessings, blessing flow, just by honoring God. Amen. It's up to you. It's up to you. There's so much more I could cover on this stuff. I go back in the book of Chronicles and show you about the different nations. When you read this, you say, why does God put all these nations in here? Why does God do that? Because God deals with nations as he deals with individuals. And one day he's going to judge all the nations. So how many people you think will make it through the tribulation period? There's going to be millions that make it through. There's only going to be a very elect Jews that make it through. They're going to realize who Jesus Christ is, their Messiah. They're going to accept him. But there's going to be millions, and you say, what's going to happen? They'll go into the millennium. And you read your Bible about the millennium, it says, a lion will lay down the lamb. The curse will be taken off the ground. Wow. Say, you believe that, preacher? I sure do. You can put a gun to my head and say, you really believe that? I sure do. I believe that because the book says it. Yep. All right, let's go, Lord, and pray. Father, thank you, God, for your mercy and grace. Lord, thank you. Father, we can look in the book this morning, and there's so much in it. Lord, I just scratched the surface of it, Lord. And I pray, God.